Good morning, church. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is risen and alive, and I witness it every day. My name is Aaron Tilley. I'm a graduate of Teen Challenge, and I have known Dave a long time. I met Dave first in 2004 when he came out to one of our chapels. Myself, I'm a son of an elder. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. My grandfather was a reverend. And I spent 28 years in addiction. I came from a place that wasn't very well. I'm telling you, even in the church, it happens. But by God's graces, we walk out of it. I've become a great follower of Christ, and I now choose to spend my life serving Him and serving His children. And I get so blessed through that. He changes my life and changes how I see things, and He alters my world around me. Because I'm no longer in this world. I'm standing in His kingdom, in His kingdom alone. Teen Challenge is a 12-month discipleship program / recovery house where we facilitate the recovery of addicts, but not when they walk in the doors. The moment they walk in our doors and they step into our kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, they are freed and released in Jesus' name. And we bring them to a place before the throne, and we present them to Jesus, and we ask God for His assistance in their lives. And that's all we do. We facilitate. We teach them the Word of God. We show them how to walk in a righteous walk. And we bring the love of Christ into their lives. And we show them how to worship, because that's where it all starts. I could go on and on about Teen Challenge, but it's more about the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And it's these guys that make it all true. So I'm going to ask Curtis to come on up first. And I'll fill in the spaces in between so I won't get too dull. So here's Curtis.
Hi. My name's Curtis Fast. I grew up in Lower Mainland in Langley. I feel kind of naked without a guitar. I help lead worship along with a couple other guys at the center. So that's what I do now. Before, I guess I'm just going to say God is good. It's amazing the love that He can just place in you. I grew up in Langley and I was in a normal home, I guess, and not Christian, though. But I started doing drugs because I was bored and drinking because I was bored and there wasn't much else to do, so might as well giggle for a few hours. But I'd always feel horrible after. When I was 18, I went to secular rehab for a couple of weeks. And that didn't really teach me anything, but other people taught me how to do more drugs. And that was about it, really. There's no God in there at all. I came out of that and started skiing. And I moved to North Van and started skiing and did that for about 5 years. I lived in Whistler and I lived in Australia for a while and traveled and skied and played with snowmobiles. And I kind of kept... All right, but there was a lot of drinking involved in that. But I stayed off everything else. It kept me kind of on the level, in a way. It kept me functioning. I met my wife working on a ski hill. When I came back from Australia, she stayed there, though, so I no longer had a wife, and I just kind of bottomed out after that. Started drinking. I didn't have anywhere to turn to. I didn't know what to look for. And life, so I turned to the bottle and turned to drugs because it comforted, made me forget. And that's forget what was going on. Till finally, it started to affect me. I wasn't functioning anymore. I started to affect my work, started to affect everything around my life. I was miserable. I didn't really want to be alive at all. I lived in Chilliwack. And I'd go out to visit my parents on the weekend because I'd normally be broke by Sunday or Saturday night. And I'd go for a meal. but I'd visit them in Langley. And if I went to church with them on Sunday morning to CLA, they'd give me a ride back to Chilliwack the next day. So, fair deal. So I kept doing that. And after a while, it bugged me. I'm like, why are these people so happy? I couldn't stand it. It bugged me. Couldn't figure out why. It never really clicked. Until one day, in the worship, they were just singing about how Jesus loves you. He doesn't, like, everything that passed is gone through him. He wants to be your friend. That was a big one, because in addiction you don't see a lot of people after a while. Kind of I closed myself off to the rest of the world other than work, and it just broke, and I just felt Jesus hug me. I swear, and that was it. From then on in, I came to Teen Challenge. My parents showed me the way to Teen Challenge, and I've been forgiven for so many things. He's convicted me of the stuff I've done wrong, and it's hard to deal with that. But then when you do, you know everything's going to be okay. You don't worry about what happened in your past anymore. Jesus forgave me for that. It's not a big problem. I look forward to what I can do now in the future every day. I get to lead worship 3 or 4 times a week, and praise God, that's a blessing on itself. And I get to tell other people about God. We get to go to other churches, and it's just so encouraging. A couple weeks ago, my dad was saying to me, he came to our grad we had a little while ago, and he was saying it's easy to sit for him to sit in pews every day and just think that, well, we go and listen to somebody tell us what God wants us to do with our lives. But they forget that God does work miracles, and that he's a living God. And then he heard the stories of some of the guys that came up, and we're living proof of God, of the miracles that have worked through him every day, through spiritual healing, mental healing, and physical healing. We see these miracles happen every single day in our center. What was it, 7 or 8 people have been cured of Hep C at our center in the last few years. And, yeah, God is good. And, yeah, we are walking testimonies to the living Christ. And thank you for our time, for your time.
I need to get taller. BC Teen Challenge has 3 facilities within this province. We have a women's center in Abbotsford, we have a men's center in Yarrow, and we have another men's center in Winfield. We are all doing great work. I am one shepherd among many. Teen Challenge has grown so much in the last 5 years. Well, actually 9 years now. Sorry, started from when I came in. 9 years. It's been amazing. God's really blessed us. We have grown from starting out with 1 employee to now where we have 36. The ministry is just blossoming like you wouldn't believe. God has really placed it on our hearts to open up a facility on the island in Duncan and another women's facility in the Okanagan Valley. We're trying to figure out if we're going to flip the men's center or not and open another men's center and give the women's center our old men's center in Winfield. But that's what we have placed in our hearts, and that's where our vision is right now, to go bigger and broader, because it's where God is. Reaching out, extending our tent pegs farther out, and letting the cover of Christ come all over us. It is a true blessing to work here. Myself, I used to work in the secular world. I was a small business consultant. I did okay. I wasn't hurt by any way. But now I choose to serve Christ, and I forsake all that gladly. Money is so fruitless. It doesn't bring you happiness. One of the things we have learned that a dollar bill cannot love. And that's one of the problems with the secular rehabs, is they don't know how to love. And I've been through a lot. We call them spin dries. You go in for a 30-day cycle, and then you're out again. And then you start using all over again. I've been through 8 of them myself. And it took Jesus back in my life to bring me clean again, to give me that freedom, to take the shackles off my life. And let me walk in the grace that is Him. I've been saved since I was 8. And like I said, I was lost for 28 years. And by the grace of God, He brought me back. And I am so thankful, because now I have a calling on my life that is greater than anything I've ever experienced. And joy beyond all joy. So I want to bring up Brian right now. He's one of the older guys in the house. He's actually older than me. Can I share how old you are? Okay, I'll let him do it then, okay?
I'm going to get people my age to stand up just so I know I'm not alone.
Sorry. Here's Brian.
Hi. My name. Thank you. I am not ashamed of my age. I'm 58, but I came in at 57. So I've been there for in my 6th month now. The teen came from when it started on the streets in New York. Laws have changed in BC, and we don't have too many teens. We had a couple of fellows at 19, but earlier than that, it's not possible to reach them through our program. But one of the interesting things is that that God has a plan for our life. Does anybody not know that? Can you just raise your hand if you don't think God has a plan for your life? Good. 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 I'm in the right place. I could read all of Ephesians, but I want to read some of it from verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But we need to be in Christ. I didn't come to the Lord till I was 37 years old. I wasn't in a vacuum before that. I was in the world, and I was not a happy camper. I active addiction from about age 9, alcoholism. And then basically whatever, as I grew up, whatever would take away or numb me at that moment. So alcohol, and then I got to drive. Who's just learning to drive here? Got an N on the car. Okay, yeah. Anybody, the N's gone, or you, now you're just a couple of years into it, you still like it? Yeah, probably. I used it. I just drove everywhere. It would fulfill me for a while. Then I found girls. Did anybody? No, it didn't matter what it was, but I didn't do it in any godly way. There were times when, through willpower, I was able to try to do things better. Didn't last. At 37, I came to the Lord, but didn't understand what discipleship was. I didn't understand what getting to the Word was or praying. And yet, when I look back, we were at a church at times. Never saw a Bible in the house. Maybe there was a Bible drawer. Anybody know what a Bible drawer is? It's the drawer by the door. And when you come in, you put the Bible in the drawer. And you bring it out next Sunday. I never saw a Bible. So I never saw God. So, you know, when I came to the Lord, it was like, I can't see you. And I didn't know. I didn't know. Well, that was 20 years before I came to Teen Challenge. And I had some good years. I got married late. I have a 14-year-old, and my wife and son are still standing with me. God is good, for sure. So there's more of Ephesians. If I can read it now. I actually wasn't feeling emotional this morning until Jared. So, and God said, you know, Brian, I want you vulnerable today. So, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's before I came to him. He wanted me. That we should be holy and blameless before him in love. And that's his love. That's his agape love. When I accepted Christ, as each of you who have accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came into us. He has given us everything for life and godliness. Everything. It's already in us. I don't need to read another book, you know, other than this one. I don't need to, you know, go to another seminar. I don't need to, you know, well, there's a lot of things I don't need to do. He has put it. Oh yeah, good. This I need to do. So if everything's in us, and we are a new creation, and I am, then if I seek Him, I can draw on what He's put inside me. And so that's what we try to do at Teen Challenge every day. And it isn't an easy thing to do. We run into the things that brought us here, the things I've run away from for years. And it's not easy. But God has a plan. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. So when I came to Christ, He freely bestowed that on me. And in Him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. I am a new creation. I got a lot of habits that are not from God that I need to change. Staff stands with us, not as I don't see them as staff as much as when I get talking to them. Just there's only one fellow I know there that's on staff that did not complete, that did not go through this program. I think of addiction and recovery a little like being pregnant. I can't relate to that, but it doesn't matter whether labor was an hour long or 14 hours long. It was maximum for that woman. That's what our addiction is like. It's maximum for us. Nobody has to spend 50 years in addiction like I did, almost 50. I think it's great, the young guys that come in, and the encouragement that you give to bring people in sooner. I know that the staff prayed before I came in. And I guess God said, I've got a plan for you. I was pretty emotional when I first came into the program. A lot of shame and guilt and hopelessness. That was gone in a week. Phil, raise your hand, Phil. You know what I'm going to say? You don't. Within an hour of coming in, Phil and a number of other guys just came around me and started praying. And that's what we do. We don't spend a lot of time talking about our addiction. We spend it on God. Amen. And I don't think I can talk anymore.
Oh, Lori's going to get me going. We do a lot of crying at the center. We do a lot of laughing. We do a lot of praying. We do a lot of talking. I would really love to say that we know it all. We don't. We are 100% Holy Ghost filled. And it is by His blessing alone that we help anybody. Because frankly, I don't know half what I'm doing half the time. I do know I've been through addiction. I do know God and I do know His Word. And I do become an empty vessel for my Savior. And I stand there and I allow Him to pour through me. And I can remember, none of you people will know Ian Ross, but all these guys do. Ian asked me about a year ago. And I was having some really tough times when I was working on Kelowna. And I was really butting heads with some of my leadership there. And he asked me, what is it that you wanted out of all this? And I go, I wanted to serve Jesus. And he goes, no, that's not it. He goes, what is it you wanted? I go, I wanted to make a difference. No, that's not what you wanted. He says, what is it that you wanted to do? And I remember when I first came in, the only thing I ever wanted to do was be a conduit of God's love. That's all I wanted to do, was share the love that He'd poured into me and give it to somebody else and overflow. That's all I ever wanted to do. And to find that peace and that grace that is my God right now in my life, and pour into them. Because that's what it's about. It's all about the other person. I can't change anybody here. I can change how I look at you. And now I stand before you and I say, I see Jesus in every set of eyes I look upon. And I minister to Jesus in you. And that's what we do with them. We just share God's love that has been placed in us. Because everything that is good is Him in me. And everything that is me is of the world. So I lay it all down. And that's what we teach. That's what we show. It's His grace, His mercy, His blessing. So I'm going to ask one of the younger guys to come up now. Because I just want to. So, Joel, if you want to come on up. Joel is a really good drummer. And also part of our worship team.
So, I'm normally a tell-it-like-it-is kind of guy. But Aaron asked me to keep it PG, so I can't really tell it like it is. My testimony, if you know me, speaks for itself. Here it is. Just me being here is a blessing, and God's grace is so good. So I didn't really know what to share this morning when I was asked to share with you guys. So I just kind of prayed, and that's kind of what I learned at Teen Challenge, just to kind of, really submit myself to God. I've grown up in the church for a long time. My dad's a pastor, my stepfather. I've gone through a lot of really interesting, conversation, deep conversation with other men in the last, I've only been here 3 and a bit months. But just with my brothers in the house and with the leadership and with all these guys, just conversations that have opened my eyes through submission to God and submission to authority. And I had a conversation with my friend Dave, who's my mentor there. I had this feeling in my mind, and it's great to hear Brian speak, because I've always had struggles with people and authority figures in my life, right? And I'll just be real like it is. I've not given Brian an inch of authority in my life where he deserves it, right? So to hear him speak today, that's big for me. And I always thought that it had to be somebody older to get authority in my life, and I still didn't want to give it. I never want to give authority to anybody. Like I said, my dad's a pastor, my stepdad, and my biological father is a notorious drug dealer. I had a great family relationship on one side and just a messed up one on the other. And when I didn't want to submit to the authority of one, I would run to the other, and I didn't want to submit to authority there either, so I just wouldn't give it to anybody. And the only people that could even have authority on me are the ones placed by God. God gives them authority, police officers and governments and those sorts of things, because that's the only thing that could even try to keep me in line. Didn't really work. Anyways, I think that the best way to explain my testimony to you guys, kind of odd that it's in the book of Joel, but yeah, it is. It just popped out at me this morning. How neat. If I can find it, there it is. All right. The Lord gave this message to Joel, son of Pethuel. I'm not too sure who my dad is, or I didn't know for a while, but now I do. Hear this, you leaders of the people. Listen, all you who live in the land. In all your history, has anything like this happened before? Tell your children about it in the years to come, and let their children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. After the cutting locusts finished eating the crops, the swarming locusts took what was left. And after them came the hopping locusts and the stripping locusts too. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers. All the grapes are ruined. Your sweet wine is gone. A vast army of locusts has invaded my land, a terrible army, too numerous to count. Its teeth are like lion's teeth. Its fangs are like those of the lioness. It has destroyed my grapevines, ruined my fig trees, stripping their bark, destroying it, leaving the branches white and bare. I feel that that was my life before I came to God. There was nothing left. I just got torn apart. And just reading a little bit farther in here, down in verse 25, it says, the Lord says, I'll give you back what you lost. To swarming locusts, and the hopping locusts, and the stripping locusts, and the cutting locusts. It was I who sent them. This great destroying army against you. Once again, you'll have all the food you want. And you will praise the Lord your God. Who does these miracles for you? Never again will my people be disgraced. Then you will know that I am among my people, Israel. That I am the Lord your God. And that there is no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. So, just coming to Teen Challenge has restored so much of my life that I've lost, that has been difficult for me. It's challenging every day. They don't call it Teen Challenge for no reason. But just with submitting to God and seeing what He does, even though I'm here, I've seen my family come back together in a way that I've never experienced outside of the program. And I see them once a month, and I talk to them once a week if I'm not on discipline. So it's like, you know, even being away, it's so much better, you know, that I'm doing this, and my family supports me, and they're coming together, and I'm seeing God do things in their lives. Although it's like I'm more involved now than I have been ever. Because even when I was totally intermixed with my family, I was just causing wreck. It was all getting ruined. Everything was getting chewed apart. But now that I'm here and I've realized to submit to God's authority and just walk in obedience to what He's calling me to do, although it's very difficult at some point, just doing it, taking that step of faith, He's blessed me greatly with the guys and with my family and in so many other ways, just to be able to stand here and, you know, say that. Like I said, that's a testimony in itself that I'm standing here today. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You mentioned the word discipline, and I just thought I needed to tweak on that one. discipleship, root word is discipline. Brian touched on it earlier about breaking habits. That's part of what we do. We give them, take the old mind, which is of the world, and we give them the new mind, which is God's word and His following and His precepts. And because a lot of us don't know the difference between right and wrong, believe it or not. We see right and wrong through our own pain. A lot of people don't understand what discipline is. They see it as punishment. I don't punish anybody. We don't punish anybody because I know what punishment is. I had my hand on punishment from my own father, and I never do that to anybody. We disciple. We bring discipline with love. We show them what's going on in their lives. We see the attitude that's been risen up, and we present it to them. And we go, we just put the mirror before their face, and we go, this is what we see. Can you see it too? And what are you going to do about it? We can help you through it. We will help you through it if you want to. God's given us free will for a reason. He lets us choose to change. He doesn't force us to change. Because to choose to change is to choose Him. To force to change is to choose the world. So we bring that up. And it's not always fun. Because when you hit that wall, people don't like it. I know I didn't. And I was a bit of a rebel myself. I had a 14-month program. Ours is normally 12. I was a little bit of what you call a silent rebel. I would just not do what I was told and walk away. So they graced me with 2 months extra to program. And I praise the Lord for every second I had. Because I learned more in those last 2 months of my program than I did in my whole program. I learned what true submission was. I knew what it felt like to be on your knee before the throne. crying, "Holy, holy, holy, who is the Lord God Almighty, who was, is, and yet to be?" Because He doesn't change. He loves me no matter what I do. He loves me in my filth. And He will pick me up out of that ditch. And He will brush me off. And He will shed His blood upon my life and wash me clean. And I will be forgiven. And He's asked me one thing to do, one other, is to forgive my neighbor. And that is really not easy to do at times. But man, it's something we all must learn. It's something we must all do. Because if you can't forgive your trespasses, how's the Lord going to forgive you? And how are you going to forgive yourself? Because that's the biggest battle we have, is how to have them forgive themselves. Because that was my biggest battle. Shame grabs a hold of you and won't let you go unless you acknowledge forgiveness in your life. And I speak that truly and deeply because I went through a lot of shame. I spent 28 years of my life by my father telling me how worthless I was. No matter how hard I worked, no matter how much I succeeded for him, it was never enough. But when I decided to walk away from it and saw myself through the eyes of Christ, and to see the perfection that was Him in me, and to see the love that was in me, I found the ability to be worthy. And that's not easy to do. And it's taken me to this point right now to find worthiness in my life. I found my life, found me serving man and not serving God. And this is just recently. And I'm speaking truth here. I'm expressing my heart right now, and I haven't even shared this with the guys. It's not easy working in this world, even serving God, because you can get lost in ministry very easy. And I end up serving man and not God. And God just kicked me in the pants real good. And, expressing His love to me was bringing me down to my knees again. And being in that place of brokenness and going, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the times in the desert where I cry out to you because I know how close you are then. Because we keep forgetting He's right here, right now. We serve a present God. His presence is right now. It's not yesterday. It's right now. Because the only thing I can affect through Jesus Christ is my life, this instant. And I choose to affect my life with Jesus and the people I serve, which is all of you. And all of them. Except they're just a little tougher. But I love them all the same. I'm going to ask Lance to come on up. He's from across the pond. And he's an interesting young man. I'm glad you said it. Lance needs lots of prayer. So please pray for him. Please.
I'm a rugby player and I don't cry. All right. And I praise God because no one said to me, I've got 5 minutes, so I've got, I'm not going to look that way, so they can't say, cut it down. Anyway. Close to the mic, sorry. Okay. I really just want to, I want God to be glorified in this because it's His story. As with each of the guys that have come up here, we're players on this big stage that God has got, and it really is His story. I'm going to try and go really slow because I really believe God has given me something to tell you something, and I'm going to try and fit it in somehow by the grace of God. I started our lives. Each one has a different life, and like I can't remember who it was saying, but my shoes are my shoes, and only I know what. Me walking in my shoes and how I feel and what I've been through and stuff like that. And each one of you guys is no different. You've had to pass through life and you have all these different things and struggles and stuff that we meet along the way and we have to overcome or we fall down. And I started using drugs when I was 10. My dad was put into prison when I was 8 years of age. I started using drugs when I was 10, and before I was 13, I tried to kill myself. I think I was really lost already by the age of 10. I'd gone inside myself. I didn't trust people. I felt let down, I guess, and all these different things. And so from the age of 10, I lived in South Africa. I was born in South Africa. My drug taking progressed from soft drugs, where people say marijuana is a soft drug and it doesn't open, well, it does open doors. It's demonic. I just want to let you know, we'll let everyone in the room know that it is demonic, and it opens doors to other things. And my drug taking got worse and worse. I was very rebellious. My dad came back into my life when I was 15. He tried to start being a father to me. He was an alcoholic when I was, you know, I don't remember much from the age of 8 backwards, but from what I can gather from my folks and my mom and stuff like that, my dad was an alcoholic from when I was really, really young. My mom had to live all through that stuff. He tried to come into my life and start laying down the law and trying to be an authoritative figure in my life, trying to be a dad. And I just, by that stage, I was a drug addict. I didn't care about anybody or anything. All I had to do was get my drugs, and I did whatever I had to do to get my drugs. And some of the stuff wasn't nice. I ended up going to the Air Force for 2 years, not through my choice again, through my father's choice, because I was rebellious. He thought that would sort me out. It didn't. I then came out the Air Force, started working for a company my grandfather was working for. Again, not through my choice, my family's choice. By the age of 21, I was dying. I was half the size. I can't even remember, really, to be honest. I don't want to sort of take it, you know, out of the air guess of what my weight, but I was dying. I sold up all my belongings, ran to the beach and bought a whackload of drugs. I just wanted to die. I didn't want to live the way I was living. I was sick and tired of doing the wrong thing. I couldn't stop taking drugs. I'd been, that was the start of me going into a rehabilitation center. My family found me on the beach and gave me a choice, either do that or stay where you are. And I chose to do that. So that was a start for me. I tried to go somewhere to get help and get sorted out, and it didn't work. I mean, I was in rehab for 6 months. I came out of rehabilitation. I fell very shortly after that. I put myself back into rehabilitation and on another 2 occasions after that for 6 months at a time. My grandparents, graciously, they thought that by me moving away would help, so they bought me a ticket. My family live in Abbotsford and have done for about 19 years. My brother was immigrated here back then. So I came and stayed with him in White Rock. But within 2 months, I was back on the drugs again. And my way of dealing with things is to run. And I had an Irish passport, so I thought, well, I'm running, I'm gone, I'm out of here. And I went to England because I could live there, I could work there legally, I could make money, whereas in Canada I had to work cash in hand, under the table, all the legal stuff, to be able to just live. Anyway, so I ended up in England, and I went over to Ireland and got myself into drugs again. It's just the pattern of our lives, really, when we don't have God. I ended up running from Ireland back to England, found myself a job in a homeless hostel, funny enough. Little did I know what was to come in my life. I was clean 6 months working there, and then I fell again. And when I fell then, I fell. I ended up sleeping rough in London, on the streets of London, running between London and the south coast, living on the beach in the summertime because it was warmer, I guess. There was lots of free food and stuff around, and I was just lost in my world of drugs and stuff, and really desperate. And I got put into this hostel. This is where God, I see God working from way back. When I look now, I can see God's hand in patches of my life. We don't see the whole picture, and I'm sure one day I will see the whole picture, and my heart will be really more grateful, I guess, and thankful. But I begin to see God's hand working. They put me in this little hostel, got me off the streets, and I got into this little hostel, like a homeless hostel. There was a guy there. I didn't make friends with anybody because everybody's out to really rob and steal from each other and just get one over on each other. There was a guy called Andy who was also a resident at this hostel, and the only thing I would do in passing, I would just say, "Hi, mate, how you doing?" And he would say the same to me. I didn't really get to know him at all. They moved me on from there to another place, a YMCA in England, in Brighton. And that 6 months that I stayed at the YMCA was the worst in my life. It felt like God had just put his hand on me. I see now, looking back, it was like God put his hand on me and the spirit of conviction came upon me. I call it that now because I know that's what it was. But at the same time, I was dealing with, I mean, I just felt like I was spiraling into this dark spiral hole, just going down into depression. I just didn't want to live. And I wrote a letter saying, that's it, I've had enough, goodbye to my family and blah, blah, blah. And I tried to take an overdose and cut my wrists, and that didn't work. Woke up the next morning, flat was obviously in a real mess and stuff. The doctor said to me that I was very lucky to be alive. And then in the next 2 weeks, I got involved. There was somebody had died in the building where we were staying in, a man that was an alcoholic, had got beaten up and came back in the building, and he had died in his sleep. But that caused an investigation to take place in this place where I was living, and I got pulled into this investigation because I was one of the people that used drugs with him occasionally. And it was a murder investigation. At the time, I didn't really think anything of it. But in those 2 weeks, I'd been interviewed a couple of times by the police. I was really at a real low. And I was still using my drugs. And I just remember going out one day to buy my drugs. And what I would do is go and buy my drugs. Then I would run back and hide away from the world for a week or two until my drugs had run out. Then I'd go out again. I didn't want to be with people. And I remember going downstairs, there was a bookshelf, and there was a lot of books, and I loved reading horror stories and stuff. I just fantasy anything to get out of where I was anywhere else, right? And I remember grabbing a Stephen King book and running up to my room and getting my drugs ready, getting a nice cup of coffee ready. I climbed in my bed, and I reached across to grab a book, and I picked up a Bible. Now, this is where I can see God's hand in my life. I really was very confused. I was like, I didn't understand how that had happened. But I started reading in the Gospels, and for the next 3 nights and 3 days, I didn't eat, I didn't sleep a wink. It was like Jesus sitting next to me, and he was just speaking the word to me. As I was reading, it was just like an audible voice. Well, I can't say an audible voice, but I just knew he was there. And he led me through the word, and the truth will set you free. And that's what it does. The truth really sets you free. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I gave my life to Jesus. Sure, I said I didn't cry. Anyway, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I gave my life to Jesus. I surrendered. I didn't give my life to him. He came and found me. We don't go looking for him. He finds us. And that's the truth. And if anybody says anything and you see these songs where you say, I found Jesus, well, you didn't. Jesus found you. It's one of my pet peeves. Sorry. And I surrendered, and that was at 3 o'clock in the morning. I felt God take my burden away from me. I felt everything. I just felt peace and a joy. I can't even express to you what the joy was. It's quite amazing because I haven't cried like this in a while. Anyway, so I know God's touching me as we speak, and that's good. 3 hours later, I fell asleep. 3 hours later, 6 o'clock in the morning, I had 6 policemen come through my door and arrest me for murder. Or a charge of murder. And there was just a lot of circumstantial stuff. Anyway, I ended up going down to the cells with them. They took me down in handcuffs and stuff like that. A long story short, I sat in the cells. The Holy Spirit gave me a word. He said, do not worry about what you're going to speak because I will give you the words to speak. I'll give you what you need to say at the right time. And I was petrified. I was really scared. Even though I'd gone through my drugging and stuff like that, I'd never been in jail. Up until I lived in England, I'd never been arrested for any of my crimes or any stealing or anything that I'd done. That was the first time I got, you know, and anyway, it was quite worrying and scared, and I was very scared and fearful. And I couldn't get hold of anybody, and all I had was the Bible. All I had was God, and I really did begin to trust him then. And I remember just sitting in the interview room, and the Holy Spirit gave me the words to speak, and he told me where I was at a certain time, which I told the police, and they eventually came back in and let me go. I went back to this place where I was living, and this is where I could see God's hand. This guy, Andy, I told you about, that was in this hostel, he came up to me, and he started to try and evangelize me, tell me about Jesus. And I said, you don't have to. I said, it's all right, I've met with Jesus. I know Jesus. He saved me. And then he told me that for the last 6 months, God had put it on his heart, and he had been there praying for me, like through tears of intercession, praying for my soul. And that's the God we serve. It's an amazing God. He's a big God. There were just a couple of things. Anyway, that's some of the stuff. There's lots more, but I'm not going to go into, because obviously time, I don't want to run out of time or whatever. But that's God's story of our lives. And I'm encouraged. A lot of things that we were hearing this morning, one, what Dave said, is that we're qualified. And that's amazing that God has qualified us. I mean, I just look at the last 3 days, and I want to be very personal. It's like my wife, our anniversary was on Thursday, 4 years marriage. And I thought we were going to have... that in itself is God, because if it wasn't for my wife holding on to God, she wouldn't be with me today, and she would tell you that herself. But I thought we were going to have such a wonderful time from Thursday and Friday, and yesterday was our family day at Teen Challenge. But the last 3 days for me have been just a real battle and a real fight for my wife as well. We were at each other like cat and dog, just saying nasty things and stuff like that. And one of the gentlemen prayed about the armor of God. Was that yourself, sir? Yeah. I just picked up on that. That was something that the Lord showed me yesterday. You know, we have the armor of God when we're walking in God. If you choose to open that door, or you choose to step just a little bit out of God's safety, every weapon that comes at you will hit you. The Word of God says no weapon formed against us will prosper, but that's when we're in Christ. So I just wanted to mention that to you, because that's what I did. You know, I tried in my strength to do what I thought was right, and it ended up just being disastrous. And we really need to be led by the Spirit of God in what we do. Pleased to say that everything's been reconciled between my wife and I. We made peace with each other yesterday, and that's the reconciliation that God brings in us. But I just wanted to say as well, like we hear about how God moves, and some people have asked me, how does God speak to you? Because I believe I hear God. God says that we're going to hear Him, we can ask Him, and He'll tell us, and we can hear from Him. And I believe I hear God. I believe God tells me what to do and how to do it, not in an audible voice, but I hear it in my spirit, and He makes it known to me somehow. And I get asked that question a lot of the time, and how do you see God? How do you hear God? And I just really wanted to be encouraged, because there was a brother, Jim, yesterday. It's like, how does God show me His love for me? Or how does God show me His compassion for me? Or how does God show me that He's with me, or He's there, or He's near? And it's like, after I've had this big thing with my wife, you know, a brother comes up to me and says, you know, I saw you were struggling. I was praying for you. And that's God's compassion. That's God working through each other in our lives. And it's we're a body of Christ, and that's how God is going to reveal Himself, is in you or your brother or your sister, or our lives. That's how He shows. That's the practical God loving you. So I just wanted to say that. There was one short scripture, if I can read it. This is what I found a stone at Bridal Falls, which I just wrote on for my wife, like a promise for both of us, from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and that's the men and women of faith that have gone before us, men and women we read about here, but it's also men like you, Dave, and it's men, my brothers in the house, it's sisters in the congregation. That's the people that we need to look up to, those that are, come on, God can do it. And those are the people we want to come alongside. And, you know, that's how it just says, so we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then if you carry on, it speaks about the discipline of God, which my brothers were touching upon as well. It's, you know, God wants to change us. His discipline is love. And He wants us to come into, anyway, I've been on and on and on. But that's our God. He wants to change us. He wants to bring us into that place of fellowship with Him. And He can only do that by getting rid of some of the old stuff. You know, we are new creatures in Christ, but we need to remember to put aside the old. Yeah. Anyway, and that's our God. That's the mighty God we serve. He's able to do this in us. Yeah. So praise the Lord. Bless you guys.
Sometimes I feel like I get paid to stand around and smile. Because it is the Lord. Everything we do is about Him. And like I said, we're just poured out vessels. And basically, the Lord knows what He's doing. Basically, He does know what He's doing. We just sit around and watch. And like I said, I get an opportunity to watch God's miracles every day. And this is just part of it. I mean, being part of the body of Christ is something amazing. Because, I mean, the reality is we need each other. We really do. Because without the love that we have and placed in us and sharing it with everybody else, we don't know what's going on. We don't understand what's going on. We're not supposed to. He has the picture. We don't. He gives it to us every once in a while. Glimpses of it anyway. He's given me great glimpses once in a while. I think the greatest glimpse I had was the day he touched my life and took me out of my addiction. And I swear to God that I heard the audible voice of my Lord touch me and say, "What are you doing with the life I gave you?" And I just, it changed. I'm going to step back. I've been 14 days in a cocaine psychosis. I hadn't stopped using for 14 days straight. Okay? And literally, when I heard that voice, dead sober. I don't know how. I can't explain it. I don't want to explain it. I'd rather keep the mystery of God in my life. Okay? I just know what happened. And I phoned my mom and my sister, and I asked for help, and they dragged me out. And it was their graces, man. It was an unreal amount of circumstances that happened. I went into detox, ran into a Christian brother. He told me about Christ again and led me back to the Lord. Teen Challenge showed up at my sister's church, got me into Teen Challenge. I talked to Sean Sabrin. I got into Teen Challenge within 3 days. That's not normal. It's not normal. But then again, you should have seen how I looked. I was 122 pounds and looked like a death warmed over. But as soon as he saw me, he knew me. Sean knew me immediately. Sean is our director at Teen Challenge and probably one of my best friends. He's spoken greatly into my life, and he's one of the men I do allow to speak into my life. And I allow many to speak. He's a great counsel and many advisors. So I'm going to ask Phil to come on up. Phil is a really neat guy. He's an abider of the law. And God's word, we made it here 15 minutes before he did, because he would not go over 100K. And I honor him for that. I tell you, I truly honor him. This is a true man of God, and I love him very much.
Good morning. If I don't have my outline, I'll be all over the place. Kind of like the speed limit. As you know, my name is Philip. I did come from a Christian home, and my life didn't go down quite so hard as some of the other gentlemen here. I became a Christian when I was 10. I asked Jesus into my heart, and that began my journey. However, because of a lot of terrible family circumstances, my parents weren't exactly living for the Lord. There was a lot of drinking and partying involved, and a lot of pain in my life. And when I was about 13, they divorced. However, the Lord still had his hand on my life. And for a while, youth group was church for me. But I wasn't fully surrendered, I realize now. And by the time I was 15, though, I came to a realization that I didn't have to be good enough. And his love was still on me, and I decided to obey him in baptism. And then by the time I was 19, I had finally finished my education. That's a story in and of itself. And I went on to go to Bible school. Did 3 years of Bible school, believe it or not. And after that, I'm like, what do I do now, God? I know the Bible now. And he still had his hand on me. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit. During that time in Bible school, I was going through a lot of counseling. And I had some people speak into my life. And during one counseling session, I just asked the Lord to bring my dad back. I asked him to bring my dad out of addiction and back to him. He was still drinking, and my parents were still separated. However, I believe that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that he will do exceedingly and abundantly beyond whatever we ask or imagine. Do you believe that? And I asked him to bring my father back, and he did much more. My first year after college, I had a strong sense. I had every intention to move onto campus, and for personal reasons, I wanted to leave home and live there. And I had a strong sense, no, Phil, you're moving back home. And in mid-sentence, I changed my tune and said, Mom, okay, maybe I should move back home. And then that year, my parents started dating. And my siblings moved home. And in August that year, my dad bought her a ring. And by Christmas that year, they were remarried after 7-8 years of divorce. That's awesome. However, after that, I started to wonder, okay, well, gee, what do I do? Maybe I'll travel. I don't know. And then a mentor of mine suggested, well, why don't you do some missions in Argentina? Yeah. And I prayed. And the Lord, I usually go for a walk when I'm seeking the Lord. And I sensed in my spirit, well, I think you should go, Phil. And, well, I don't want to go. And he said, well, sometimes we got to do things we don't necessarily want to do. I said, oh, yeah, well, whatever. You got to confirm that one. Lo and behold, the following week I go to church, and one of the sub-themes in the sermon was, sometimes God wants us to do things we don't necessarily want to do. Okay. Okay. So I went, and the Lord really touched my life, and he shared with me, you know, like, to love the world is to be an enemy of God. And a lot of, there was still a lot of me that was still loving the world. I love the world. And I love the movies that we ingest, and just all the materialism that we embrace. And so that really struck me. And I went through a series of events. I went back to Argentina again. And there was still a lot of stuff that the Lord, I needed the Lord to deal with. And I hadn't let him just yet. And there were a lot of lies of the enemy that were creeping into my life. And they were getting stronger. And eventually when I got back home, I was a broken man. And I had no problem with having a drink. Yeah, it's not a problem. And eventually, to hide the pain that was deep inside of me, it was all, became almost every day. And just to relax and not think about my problems and go to sleep. And I knew better. And finally, it dawned on me to get some help. I was praying to God, okay, what do I do now? Get some help. Okay. And a mentor of mine suggested Teen Challenge. And I fought with the idea for about 3 months because, like, oh, my goodness, look at all these rules. And the thing, finally I came to my bedside and I was praying to the Lord. And I'm like, I can't get rid of this thought. And he led me to Hebrews chapter 13, or excuse me, chapter 12. And quickly here, chapter 12, verse 5. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. But the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. And he said, Phil, basically, this is my discipline for you. And he loves us. He loves us enough to say, hey, hang on a second. This is not my plan for you. And so he brought me to Teen Challenge. And what is he doing with me now? What is he? That can pretty much be summed up in Psalm 51. Hello? If I can get there in time. Psalm 51, verse 10 to 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And that's what God's doing with me. He's restoring to me the joy of his salvation, and a willing spirit to sustain me, to enable me to obey his will. And another thing that that's scripture that's close to my heart is Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. That he's working in you to act. I don't have it memorized. Where is it now? Here we go. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So he's working in you, he's working in me, in order to make us willing to obey him. In order to permeate his life, his love into our being so that we want to obey him. Because it enriches us, because he wants to bless our lives. Like I've been to a couple conferences lately, and oftentimes, like with the English of the Bible, oh my goodness, we hear that word commandment, you know, from the Ten Commandments, and we're like, oh man, I gotta do what? We get to. If you go into the Hebrew, it's more like, do this and you will be blessed. These are your guidelines. Because I want you to be blessed. I don't want you to be cursed. I don't want you to be sick. I want you to be whole. Because I love you. And as a result of my journey at Teen Challenge, he is more my Lord today than he ever was. And it's by the grace of God that I'm here standing before you today and not isolated somewhere in a pit of despair. And I'm going to graduate in just over a month, and praise the Lord. And I get the opportunity possibly to teach and to do what's called a LIT, which is Leadership and Training at Teen Challenge. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I just want to leave you with one scripture that's really touched me as well. And then I'll wrap it up. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And I find that I'm learning that I don't have to be afraid of man anymore. I can just relax and receive his love and obey him. And you don't have to be afraid anymore. He's put that spirit in you. And if you just relax and surrender, the sky's the limit. He'll do his will through you, and it'll be some wild ride that you never thought possible. So, praise God.
Well, that's pretty well a snapshot of Teen Challenge. The grace of God, the mercy of God, and the Holy Spirit. We have a little saying, we get Jesus in the morning. God in the morning, Jesus for lunch, and the Holy Spirit for dinner. And that's the way we live it. And we surrender ourselves to our Lord, because it's the way he wants us. Surrendered. In order to be surrendered, we serve others. Becomes a life of other driven, and that's most important. So I want to thank you all for your time. Most of all, I want to thank you for your grace and mercy upon our lives, allowing us to speak here. And I want to thank Dave for always coming out and preaching to us. You got one heck of a good preacher here, so you know. Okay. The last 5 years, he's taught me a lot, and you should feel very blessed, because there's not many around like him. So, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the chance we have to share who you are in our lives. Thank you for the time that we can share your love with others around you. Father, we always come before you in the throne room, and we thank you for the blood that you've shed upon our lives. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And most of all, we thank you for family, because the family you placed us, this body that you call Christ. And we thank you all very much for your time and your trouble. In Jesus' name, amen.